its current state here on 90.5 WKAR. Tens of millions of American adults have not graduated from high school. Every year, thousands of these non-graduates take General Educational Development Tests, the GED, to be considered proficient at the level of a graduate. Every 10 years, the GED test is updated to meet with current educational standards. Time is running out for individuals planning to earn their GED before the new test is put into place in January. The new test will be digital. It will focus on critical thinking skills and align closer with Common Core standards. Katie Stecker is in charge of the GED prep program at the Capital Area Literacy Coalition. Katie, thanks for joining us to break down all these changes.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Before we delve into the changes involved in the GED, give us a sense of who takes the GED. Who do you typically serve?
It varies, definitely. I mean, in Lansing, we have a lot of failing schools. There's problems with our educational system here. So a lot of people don't realize how many people actually don't finish high school in this area. As far as age goes, I would say sometimes older people get discouraged and think that it's too late for them, which is definitely never, ever true. But I'd say we have mostly younger people, but we definitely have older folks, too.
And what kind of impact does it have to actually get the GED certification?
It used to be the case that people who did not graduate from high school could still start taking classes at LCC. That's no longer true. You do need to have a GED to start taking college classes. It also suggest to employers that a student has mastered the skills that would be expected of a high school graduate.
So you help people who want to take the GEDs to prepare for them. What's that process like for somebody to enroll in one of your GED classes?
Right. We have like a sort of three-step process. We ask new potential students to come in on Wednesday mornings at 10:30 to get screened. It's an open walk-in screening. We just test their reading level. It's like a 5-10-minute process. If a student's reading above an eighth-grade reading level, then they are eligible to participate in the program. If they're reading below an eighth-grade reading level, then we connect them with the basic reading services that we have in our organization. Now, we do this to ensure that a student will be successful with the GED material. A lot of programs will take anybody regardless of their reading level, and if someone's reading at about a third grade reading level, they're really not going to be successful with the GED material. Mm-hmm. After that, we have them come back to do a math test and a comprehension test, and then after that, every student will make an individual appointment with me. I learn about their needs, their goals, what they expect out of the program, and that's when we get them set up to be connected with a tutor. And they'll meet with their tutor one-on-one twice a week for an hour each until they're ready. They'll be taking practice tests and they'll be studying on their own. There's a lot of things they can do.
And, I mean, your visit here is triggered by the fact that the GED is changing.
Definitely.
Come January. Talk to us about some of those changes.
Like you mentioned earlier, the most obvious difference is that it's no longer going to be on paper. It's all going to be on the computer. There's a lot of buzz about it being more difficult. I really try to avoid that kind of language. I think that has sort of a negative connotation. I think it's more challenging in that it's supposed to align itself with the Common Core standards that are the Common Core state standards that are being implemented in public schools. What's really happening is they've changed the framework of the test. It used to be something called Bloom's Taxonomy, and it was about like different levels of difficulty, and every question was worth 1 point, and they were all a similar difficulty level. Now they've shifted the framework to something called Webb's Depth of Knowledge, and this is less about difficulty, per se, and more about steps required, the sort of critical thinking required to complete a question. For example, if a question asks you to define the word big, that would be a depth of knowledge level 1 question. If a question asks you to define the word enormous, that would also be a level 1 question, even though the words are one word is more challenging than the other.
Okay.
They would just be one recall step.
Okay. What about costs here?
We're not sure what the new cost is going to be. Michigan is one of the highest GED costs, one of the highest states. Right now, it's $35 a test. There's five tests. It's $175. There's only going to be four tests. They're taking out the writing section, and they're integrating it into the other portions of the test. Mm-hmm. We do anticipate the cost will rise a little bit.
Do you know why Michigan is already relatively expensive?
I'm really not sure. It just seems to be that way, which is definitely a hardship for a lot of our students. You know, if someone doesn't have a GED, they have a hard time earning the kind of money that they'd like to be.
Okay. Are any of your students intimidated at the prospect of taking the new test? In other words, do you have have you had a spike in the number of students who want to get in before January?
Definitely. Fall has been crazy. We have had a lot of students coming in. No new students are actually eligible to take the current test anymore. So all of our new students are preparing for the 2014 GED.
Okay.
We've had a lot of people that want to get it in. Like I said earlier, I try to avoid that discourse of suggesting that the new test is more difficult because I don't want students to be like, oh, I don't want to do that. I want them to see it as an opportunity for hard work and to really enrich themselves, to really be a 21st century employee or college student.
We're talking with Katie Stecker, who's in charge of the GED prep program at the Capital Area Literacy Coalition. The GED changes in January. What happens to applicants who take the test and don't complete the test? Are they back at square one?
Unfortunately, that is the case. Like I said, there's five tests. A lot of students are just waiting on that math test. Math tends to be the most intimidating subject for a lot of our students. So if they've completed all four tests except for that math test, they will lose all of those. They will forfeit those scores if they don't complete the battery.
How has your organization handled the transition to this new test? Has it been a lot of work for you guys?
Yeah, we're in transition right now. A lot of organizations are in transition. It's the publishers haven't really come out with their materials yet. It's been kind of crazy trying to figure out what to do. We're trying the best we can. In January, I'm going to have a meeting with all of the GED tutors and try to explain to them what's going on. But right now, it's kind of...
Well, so much happens over the course of a decade.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine what it's going to be like in another 10
right.
years, how to adapt to these things. What's your batting average in terms of preparing people successfully for the test?
Right. We administer the official practice tests, the official GED practice tests that come from the testing company. They're retired versions of GED tests. I don't send my students to go take the official test until they're scoring a 500 on the test. The minimum passing score is a 410. So I know when my students are scoring that 500, they're very, very likely to pass. So I think I've maybe had one student since I've been working for Calc that hasn't passed.
Will you literally be spending more time preparing candidates for the new test than you have the test you've been using?
That definitely depends on the student. People always want to know how long it's going to take to get their GED. That depends on their incoming level, how hard they're working, how flexible their schedule is. I feel like it'll probably be about the same. We are concerned about older students who are not as technology literate.
Yeah, I would think that there's a potential intimidation factor there.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, we already have a problem with older folks thinking that it's too late for them, and we definitely want to express that is not the case. We're currently working on getting some funding together to replace some of our computers in our GED library at our office. When we do that, we are planning to have a sort of tutorial, kind of basics computer class for GED students.
How is it the writing... How did the writing actually become incorporated into other parts of the test?
Well, they've decided that writing is such an important part of being a successful 21st century employee or a successful 21st century college student that it didn't make sense for them to just have one isolated portion of writing because writing is so integrated into all academic fields. It's going to be on the reading section and the social studies section. In the past, a student was given a prompt and they were asked to use their personal experiences, thoughts, and feelings as sort of supporting evidence. Now students are going to be giving several pieces and be asked to write a synthesis essay, be used to, like, use the pieces to support their evidence.
Tell us a little bit more about what happens to those students who don't pass that initial reading test. What kinds of things do you prescribe?
You mean our diagnostic test?
The very first test to determine the reading level.
Yeah, we have several programs at Cal. The GED program is just a portion of what we do. We also offer ESL classes, English as a Second Language, mm-hmm. basic reading. We have some children's programs. Those students who are reading below an eighth grade reading level are connected to our basic reading services. It's the same thing. We'll pair them with a tutor. They'll meet twice a week. And then when they feel that they're ready or we know that they're improving, they're eligible to take the test again. We test our students every 40 hours of instruction to gauge improvement. So once they're reading at that eighth grade reading level, they will be able to start using GED material.
Talk to us just with your instructor's hat on here, though, just for 1 second. How do you feel about these changes as an instructor?
I get that question a lot, and although I'm worried that it is going to be a little more challenging for a lot of our students, I'm excited. I want the GED to mean something. If it doesn't get harder, if it doesn't align itself with what is expected of high school graduates, then what's the point, right? I want employers and colleges to see my students as smart and see them as successful. So I'm really excited that the GED is actually raising the bar.
And how do people reach the Capital Area Literacy Coalition?
your
website, I guess, is
yeah,
what I'm asking.
Yeah, we're www.thereadingpeople.org. I don't remember our phone number off the top of my head.
Well,
I'm so sorry.
You're part of the new digital generation there,
yeah,
Katie.
Yeah, but you can reach us there.
Thereadingpeople.org.
Katie, you can email us at mail.thereadingpeople.org.
Very good. The Reading People in Lansing. Katie Stecker's in charge of the GED Prep Program at the Capital Area Literacy Coalition. Katie, good luck. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.